This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I can't read it, but I move my finger across it. Ta'reeman li kalamillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respect for the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have that respect anymore for the Quran, book of Allah.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In the previous surah, or continuing the previous surah theme of Ar-Rahman, we find that many individuals read these two surahs together, Surah Ar-Rahman and Surah Al-Waqi'ah. They have this spiritual retreat or uplift in reciting these surahs or building a connection with these two surahs. And obviously we're going to analyze analytically or academically about the authenticity of those narrations that people that they sway to show that it gives you some form of spiritual uplift or even some worldly benefit. That some people, they narrate or they mention that Surah Al-Waqi'ah takes away al-faqr. Whoever reads it every single night will take away poverty away from that individual. And this is the psyche of the human being, that many things that we do them either for a spiritual gain or we do it for some worldly gain. That's why if you go through the marketplace, you find many times people will play these surahs in the morning. Surah Ar-Rahman Al-Waqi'ah, because this could be the pretext, the reason why they played these surahs or they listened to these surahs, because they have this affiliation. And we're not here to discredit their affiliation. What we're here trying to establish is authenticity. That is what counts inside Al-Islam. Because many of these individuals, or many of, we can use such harsh words, opponents, they feel that we're trying to blame them for what they're doing. We're not here to blame people. We're here to find the path of close proximity to the teachings and the practice of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. No one is here to judge any individual whether they go to paradise or they go to the hellfire. That is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we should be wary and careful in our words, how we present certain words, because emotionally people do get upset, or people do misconstrue words or misunderstand words, and they think that we're trying to lash out at them or begin to throw them into Jahannam. But what we can safely conclude about these two surahs is that the discussion continues of Al-Jannah wal-Nar, of paradise and the hellfire. So whereby the Surah Ar-Rahman is speaking about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it also speaks about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And its theme spills over into Al-Waqi'ah, the 56th chapter of the Qur'an. That once again the discussion becomes, فَأَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ وَمَا أَصْحَابُ الشِّمَالِ Or for Ashabul Maymanati ma Ashabul Maymana, that who are the people of the right hand, and what will get you to know what, who the people of the right hand are. Wa Ashabul Mash'amati, and who are the people of the left hand, or the people given their record inside their left hand. So the theme continues inside these two surahs, and also ulama mentioned that the theme of Surah Ar-Rahman speaks about the Quran. Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran, begins by speaking about the Quran, al-Waqi'ah, concludes. وَإِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونٌ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ Surah Al-Waqi'ah concludes with the Qur'an, that this is a noble Qur'an, a Qur'an which is protected from the lofty scriptures, from the lofty place of the heavens, guarded inside the preserved tablet, فِي لَوْحِ الْمَحْفُوظِ, and then brought down upon the world over a time span of 23 or odd so years. لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ And only the pure will touch the Qur'an. So there's a relevance between these two surahs, beginning with the Qur'an, ending with the Qur'an, speaking about Jannah, speaking about Nar, and speaking about Al-Qiyamatul Kubra, about the last day, is a theme that recurs inside these two surahs. And at the same time, it speaks about Qiyamatul Sughra. What is the minor day of judgment? The minor day of judgment is Al-Mawt, is death. That runs inside these two surahs. Kullu man alayha fan. Everything on the face of this earth will perish, as Allah mentions in Surah Ar-Rahman. And inside Surah Al-Waqi'ah, فَإِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ That when the person comes to Al-Ihtidar, time of death, when the soul comes to the top of their throat, so the discussion begins to take place about what happens to those individuals when death comes upon them. So this is known as Qiyamatu Sughra, the minor day of judgment, which in essence is the major day of judgment, because when a person dies or leaves this world, it is kalamhil basar, oh huwa aqrab, the transition, the barzakh, the transition from this world to al-akhirah, is that the blinking of an eye, or far less than that? Because people will say that we have just been resided for a short while inside the grave, and maybe 50,000 years, 100,000 years have passed by, centuries, qurun, have gone by. But a person feels it's just been like the blinking of an eye. And that's why we find that many of the ulama who began to speak about preparation inside this world, because many of us, we should rightfully read about al-akhirah. But prior to that should be the initial al-akhirah is al-qabr. As many times mentioned by Uthman ibn Affan, that he would weep. He said, because I heard the Prophet ﷺ say, this is inna hadha al-qabr awwal manzil min manazil al-akhirah. That this qabr is the first station of the stations of what will come inside al-akhirah. So whatever is easy inside the grave will be easy inside al-akhirah. Whoever finds obstructions, calamities and difficulties inside the grave, فَمَا بَعْدُ هُوَ أَشَدْ. Whatever will come after it will be far even more severe. And some of the works of ulama of tazkiyah, if you read about their works, the ta'ajjab, you begin to marvel at to such grave extent. They went in to read some of the works of Imam al-Ghazali, Kitab al-Mawt, وَذِكْرُ مَا بَعْدُهُ. His chapters speak about inside Ihya al-Ulum al-Din, speak about the chapter of death and what comes after it. He narrates that some of the, or a specific individual, had a grave inside his house. He had a grave inside his garden. وَكَانَ يَوْمِيًا لَيْلَةً كُلَّ لَيْلٍ. Every single night he would go and sleep inside his grave, rest inside his grave, lie there. People ask, what is this strange action that you're doing? He said, because I'm preparing myself. That every night I lie here inside this grave, inside this small parameter. So I'm psychologically preparing myself what's going to happen next. That is the intelligent Muslim. The intelligent believer is the one that sees certain signs, certain symbols, and begins to prepare for them. It's not intelligence that a person begins to fall away from the path and sees death, sees the symbols of death, sees people that they love, people close to them, who are just toppling away, falling away, going away one by one. It's a domino effect. It's just one person after another person. Every person has their ajal, their appointed time that will be given to every single individual, as the surah begins to speak about. And thus we find that this surah, Al-Waqi'ah, because Al-Waqi'ah is min asma'il qiyawm al-qiyamah, it's amongst the names of Al-Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment. There's numerous surahs. Imam Qurtubi collects so many different names. Hatta some of them go to 80. 80 names can be extracted inside sifat of Yawm Al-Qiyamah. But there's certain surahs inside the Qur'an. Hatta Surah Al-Qiyamah, the 76th chapter of the Qur'an. Al-Haqqa, the 69th chapter of the Qur'an. Then you find Al-Ghashiyah. All these places inside the Qur'an, surahs named after the Day of Judgment. That if a person just reads just these surahs that are entitled after the Day of Judgment, people will begin to see Al-Qari'ah, وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةَ. That what will be this torment, this storm, or this thunderous bolt, this sound that will come. Then this is what the Qur'an repeats time and time again, certain verses inside of ayat, inside the Qur'an. الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى, the great calamity. الصَّاخَة, all this is to waken the individual. That's why the ulama al-lugha, they speak about hatta fi hadhihi al-kalimat, even inside these words, you find an echoing sound of a deep impact. That's what the Arabic language, that's why Allah repeats, وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ, what will it explain to you? What will get you to know what is Yawm al-Qiyamah is? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats it to awaken the individual. Everything that occurs in a repetitious nature inside the Qur'an, a person needs to pay close attention to that. Then why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeating the concept of the last day? It's repeating the concept of Yawm al-Qiyamah inside the Qur'an. So this surah which speaks about al-Qiyamah, إِذَا وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةِ لَيْسَ لِوَقَعَتِهَا كَاذِبًا. That when al-Waqi'ah comes, Abu Bakr al-Jazari mentions al-Haditha, this reality that it comes, no one can stop it. لَيْسَ لِوَقَعَتِهَا كَاذِبًا. No one can deny the last day. It's a reality. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the last day, He speaks about it in the past tense. Allah mentions that Surah An-Nahl, أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُوهُ. Allah says that Surah An-Nahl, أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. Allah says the hour has been established.
The command of Allah has been established. Ata huwa fi'l madi. It's in the past tense. Allah isn't saying the hour is coming, as in other places inside the Quran. Allah says, Ata amrullah. It's been ka'annahu haqqan qad aqamat. It's been established. There's no discussion about it. The hour has been established, it will come. Allah mentions inside the beginning of Surah Al-Anbiya. اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون. Inside Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st chapter of the Quran, the hour has come close for mankind. But most of mankind, they're in a state of ghafla, heedlessness. When the hour comes, look inside the next surah, Surah Al-Hajj. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم. Fear your Lord. Allah says, Al-Khitab lil-insan. Allah doesn't say, oh believers. Allah says, Ya أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم. Fear your Lord. Fear that day. Inna zalzalat as-sa'ati la shay'un 'azim. The shaking of the earth on that day is something huge. Then I'll continue the description. Wa tara an-nasa sukara wa ma hum bisukara walakinna 'adhab Allah shadid. You see that the pregnant woman will drop her load. You see the woman who's feeding a child will throw her child away from her breast. That's the linguistic, literal translation of these ayat at the beginning of Surah Al-Hajj, the 22nd chapter of the Quran. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ السُّكَارَى. You're going to see people in a state of drunkenness, intoxication, they've lost their mind. وَمَا هُمْ بِالسُّكَارَى. They're not drunk. They're not intoxicated. They're lost. They don't know where to run. When there's upheaval, there's destruction. When there's an earthquake, there's a tsunami. People run helter-skelter. There's destruction. People don't know what to do. وَمَا هُمْ بِالسُّكَارَى سُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. But it's the punishment of Allah subhanahu which is so severe. Likewise, Surah Al-Qamar, that you find that the hour has been established very close. اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ. Surah Al-Qamar, the 54th chapter of the Qur'an, that the hour has come close. اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ. The hour is very, very close. وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ. And the moon has been split in half. These are amongst one of the signs that were given to the Prophet ﷺ, mu'jiza was given to him, that he pointed to the moon and it split in half. It's a mu'jiz, a miracle given to the Prophet. That's why scientifically now it's been proven. If you watch the moon carefully, or you get a telescope and you study the moon, you'll see there's a crevice. There's a crevice. There's a line that runs in the moon. These are signs that were shown. Some even ulama of history, they write that it physically, that some people documented in the books of history that the moon was split apart. But but people still, mu'ridun. People still turn away, ghafilun, heedless. You know, these are non-Muslims who are heedless. And sadly, some of us are also becoming heedless. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. People boast about what they know about the world. We're not saying don't educate yourself, don't learn, don't study, don't have a good job, don't have a good career. We're not saying that. But not expensive, you don't have a clue about your akhirah. You don't have a clue about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. وَلَكِنْ يَوْمِيًا تَدْرُسْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Every day you study the market. Is it volatile? Is it right to sell, to buy, to invest, to do this, to do that, to learn this, to learn medics, to educate yourself, to learn a language, to learn a skill, to learn a profession? وَمَاذَا تَعَلَّمْتَ بِنِسْمَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. What have you learned about Allah? بِلَاشْ لَا شَيْء. Don't know. Don't have time. But you have time for every single thing. But you don't have time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. شَيْءٌ عَجِيب. You don't have time for Allah. When Allah is the one who subjugated all of this for a purpose. وَسَّخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِّنْهُ. Allah subjugated everything upon this earth to the human being. For the benefit of the human being. For what purpose? That you rejoice and you enjoy these things of the dunya. But at the same time, this lifts you to do what? To worship and to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that, as we mentioned, that some people, they follow this surah They want this surah because they want to take away poverty from them. You know, we become Muslims, we just do haphazardly, we do actions that on a specific night, on a specific day, you know, that's me and me done with. I came for Yawm al-Jum'ah. I came for Ramadan. I came for Laylatul Qadr. I came for Shab-e Barat. I came for the 15th of Sha'ban. I came for this practice. So that's me. I've been recorded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this your barter system relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Does Allah, kalla wa hasha, deal with us in that manner? That today I give you food and tomorrow I won't give you food. Tomorrow I give you life, I won't give you life. Today I give you children, I won't give you children tomorrow. Does Allah deal with us in that manner? Kalla wa hasha. Doesn't deal in the human beings in that manner. So why do we deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that befits our own purpose? That's what we become. We become people who worship Allah on our own interest. Wa min ma'ani of ibadah, study the meaning of Ibn Taymiyyah studies, speaks about what's the meaning of ubudiyyah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fi kulli hal, wa fi kulli heen, wa fi kulli waqt. In every station, fi sarra'i wa dharra'i, wa fi al-farhi wa al-ghadabi. Adversity, hardships, happiness, anger, frustration, loss, success. Every person is a state of ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, moments and times, mawatin wal mawasim, certain moments or stations or places or climates or months, they increase you in ta'a, increase you in obedience, increase you in reward. And that's what a person avails. But some of these narrations that we hold on to, they're fabricated or they're weak. This narration specific that you find, a person, whoever reads Surah Al-Waqi'ah, kulla yawm, or kulla layla, lam yasubhu faqran. That person will never face poverty. So that's why some people may read this Surah Al-Waqi'ah, this 56 chapter of Quran, 96 verses, read it for the purpose that it will take away poverty. I've never become impoverished in my life. Yes, we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqr. Allah, I seek refuge from being in a state of poverty. Umar al-Khattab used to say that a man in a state of in poverty, yajuru ila al-kufr. When a person goes in a impoverished state, in a state of poverty, it's easy for the man to go into kufr. Because a person may beg, person may steal, may lie, may cheat, may do all sorts of atrocities that to go to enter into to sustain themselves. So a person should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they have qut, they have wealth, they have food, they have drink, they have a good life. Gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that Abdullah Mas'ud, who narrated this hadith, even though this hadith is da'if, in the mu'zam al-ulama al-hadith, in the majority of ulama of hadith, they classify this hadith as to being weak. And we want to highlight this concept of Sha'ban as well, as we began with this emotional feeling that Muslims have. All of the narrations, except one, are acceptable in the ulama al-hadith. All the narrations that they narrate about Sha'ban are scrupulous, questionable, very weak, fabricated ahadith. And when people try to say no, when there's so many weak ahadith, it strengthens the hadith. And as we began, we're not here to criticize the awam, the general masses of people. There are shurut, conditions of when a hadith which is weak, it becomes something acceptable. As Imam Ahmad, he speaks about conditions of a hadith whereby it is weak, not very weak, not fabricated, not la aslalahu, that has no authenticity at all. It is just weak. It's on the brink mark between a grade D and a C. So that on that occasion, that hadith can be lifted if there's numerous authentic ahadith that exist about the topic. If there's numerous ahadith which are authentic that exist about the topic, it then can be lifted. But as we mentioned, most of the ahadith about the 15th of Sha'ban, all of them are questionable, bar one. And if we even that one hadith which some ulama may have authenticated, look at the practice of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That's the benchmark. Don't look at personalities. Don't look at individuals. Everything about his life has been documented. It's crystal clear. Hatta umurul bayt, even his affairs of his house, what he done inside his home, Even you can say, we can use such words, even his proximity to his family members is documented. How he dealt with them. What he done. It's there. Nothing is hidden about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We don't find in his life that he made takhassus of one night of ibadah. That people begin to traverse this path or they get emotionally about it. The living example is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Read his seerah, read his life, follow his sunan, follow his teachings. He said, I've left you in the plain path. The plain path. There is no obscurity inside it. It's totally clear. Everything that I told you to do in terms of ibadah, I've listed it for you. You pray like this. You fast like this. You sleep like this. You make dhikr like this. So when people come and say emotionally, this dhikr brings you close to Allah. Maybe it does bring you close to Allah. We're not here to question your intentions. And at the same time, we're not here to say that and people say, oh look, bid'ah, innovation. The emotionally uses blackmail to then to silence authenticity. Maybe some people may be overzealous in how they present it. And even a person does do bid'ah, a simple message. Allah will judge the awam. Allah will judge the masses, because maybe they might be more sincere than us. Maybe they might be years in front of us standing at the gates of Jannah. Years in front of us, they could be standing there waiting there. It's not for us to question that. What we're questioning is academics. Academics to attribute something to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which he did not do, which he did not practice. That's the key fundamental concept we need to understand. If he did it, فَلَا رَأْسِ وَالْعَيْنِ. If he done it, then we follow it in our lives. Not but possibly, or it could be, or we can extract it, because there's no extraction. Because extraction is the life of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, of Umar, of Uthman, of Ali. That's the extraction. You don't find them doing it. Practicing these things that we begin to practice inside our lives. So that's what we need to instill within ourselves, a path of authenticity. And remind, encourage people around us with good ethics, good behavior. Embrace them with the love of the Prophet alayhi salam. If you love him, then look at his sunnah. Why are we turning away from his sunnah? Why are we turning away from it if it's there, crystal clear? Because that means, as Imam Malik highlights, that if you turn away from it, you're basically trying to say that there's some default, there's some discrepancy in what the Prophet ﷺ told us to do. That's how ulama of usul begin to highlight. That when you begin to say that, you're trying to say that the Prophet ﷺ, he left out something. That's not plausible. That's not possible. Because the Prophet ﷺ has been told by Allah, Ya ayyuhar Rasul, بَلِّغْ مَا عُنْزِيَ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. O Messenger, convey to the people what Allah has told you to do. And if you don't do that, then you've not been truthful to the message. So he's told us what to carry out inside our lives. So we find that inside this surah that we find that these three types of individuals that we find, وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا. In the beginning of this surah, at the end of this surah, Allah mentions the same pattern. As we said, that read the Quran. There's a great deep pattern inside the Quran. All these ikhtalafat that we find inside our community, why does it exist? Because we don't read the Quran. We don't study the Quran. We don't understand the language of the Quran. So, kullu ma kana shakhs ba'id an al-lughat al-arabiyya wal-Quran. The more further a person is away from the Arabic language and the Quran, the more weird and wonderful their views will be. The more proximity towards the Arabic language and the Quran, and the language of the Quran, and the understanding of the Quran, the more, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, closer to the truth they will be. Because the Quran, inna hadha al-Quran, yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. Quran leads to that which is firm, that which is strong. That's what the Quran does. So the more the person is in tune with the Quran, reading the Quran, reading the tafsir of the Quran, trying to understand the Quran, things become crystal clear. Things become apparent. That this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do. This is what the Prophet ﷺ tells us to do. It's there inside the Quran that we find. So we find that these three categories of people that the Quran is trying to highlight, we can weigh ourselves up. Are we people of the right hand? People of the left hand? وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ. or the people who are far excelling. You know, as we mentioned, in the dunya, we not just want to be the basic average individual. We want to be the cream of society. We want to be that elite person, whatever we believe in. In the profession, I want to be the elite individual. In my work, I want to be the elite individual. In my career, in my life, I want to be the peak. But when it comes to Jannah, just somehow just scraping to Jannah will be sufficient. Whereas the Quran is telling us the opposite. وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ Those who are first and foremost racing. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةِ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةِ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ Look at the kalimat of the Quran. سَارِعُوا Race. سَابِقُوا Compete. Challenge. إِلَى مَغْفِرَةِ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ Challenge one another with what? To get the forgiveness of your Lord. To get paradise whose width is like the heavens and the earth. That's what we should be racing for, running for, challenging for, competing with. That's Olympics. That's what we should be doing. Chasing that, the torch of Jannah, the nur of Jannah, the light of Jannah. That's what we should be chasing inside this dunya, we should be trying to do inside our lives. So Allah mentions that these three categories are mentioned time and time inside the Quran. That those people who excel in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people of the right hand, the people of the left hand. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions each group and their due reward. So Allah entices us. Don't think the Quran leaves us in a dark myth or an abyss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ Doesn't Allah know what He's created, the most subtle, the most aware is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّحَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ والقناطير المقنطرة Allah mentioned beginning of Surah Al Imran, what does man love? What does man love? The covetous greed for women, for children, for property, for wealth, cultivation. Al-harth, wal-khayl, branded, al-khayl al-musawwama, branded horses. You know, in today's language, fast cars, powerful riding vehicles. Ferrari has what at the front of it? A branded stallion. Look at the language of the Quran. It speaks at all times and places that people are fakhr, be proud about that. What they own and what they possess. So Allah mentions zuyyina linnas. That's what man loves. And like in the akhirah, Allah speaks about the same reflection. That's why nukla an Ibn Abbas. Wa shakl takhtalif. Aw qad yakun shakl nafsu shakl. The shape and the format is going to be the same. وَلَكِنْ أَذَّوْكُ وَالطَّعْمُ The taste, the flavor will be something else inside Jannah. Allah uses names of this dunya, al-fawakih, fruits, women, wine, drink, honey, water, brocades, goblets, thrones, palaces, water, fine ornaments, enrichments. It's all there inside the Quran. For what purpose? عَبَثًا Just for the sake of mentioning. Why? Because human nature relates to it. So that's why Ibn Abbas mentioned that human nature picks it up. That's why Allah mentions, وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا Every time they go into paradise, they're going to be given some food and drink is going to be given to them. Similar to this world. But you find that it's, the entity is going to be something different when they eat it and they try it. So Allah mentions inside this surah about all the different things that will be given to the people inside paradise. But prior to that, hadith of the Prophet ﷺ inside Sahih Bukhari, that one day, inside prayer, he stretched his hands forward, took a step forward and tried to grasp something. And he came back. The companions asked him, what this strange action that you've done? He said that a bunch of grapes of Jannah was exposed to me and I took my hands forward to pluck it. Whether that one bunch or one grape, if that one grape had been given to this world, it would suffice the world. One grape or a bunch of grapes will suffice the world for them to eat and to enjoy in that. Hadith inside Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ stepped forward. Like in another hadith, he mentioned he stepped backward because the flames of the fire were coming. Thus you find this balance that Muslims need to develop inside their life. Blessings and likewise to be wary of the punishment as well. يَتُوفُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ Inside paradise, you find immortal young servants will come with cups, with jugs, ma'in ma'in, with this lovely wine will be given to him to drink. And straight away Allah mentions, لَا يُصَدَّعُونَ عَنْهَا وَلَا يُنْزِفُونَ. Just to set the record straight. That khamr fil akhirah, لَا يُصَدَّعُونَ, doesn't give you a headache. Doesn't intoxicate you. That's why you find the ulama speak about al-khamr fil dunya. It has four effects upon the person. It affects your brain, makes you vomit, affects your urine system, and it affects your sugar level inside your body. These are the four effects of al-khamr. Al-al-badan wal-aql. Wa-amba fil-akhirah. Inside the akhirah, there's going to be no intoxication. That's what you find. Man yashrab khamr al-dunya lam yashrab khamr al-akhirah. Whoever drinks from the intoxicants of the world will not drink from intoxicants of al-akhirah. That should be enough for a person to awaken themselves inside their life, whereby we're living in a world of intoxicants. Intoxicants, we're surrounded by them, that people, they enjoy them, they think nothing of them. But a person used to be wary about that. وَفَاكِهَةِ مِمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ. Fruits whereby they can select however they want. وَلَحْمِ طَيْرِ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ وَحُورٌ عِينَ. And there will be fowls, there will be birds. Birds, a flock of birds in this world that we find, a different entity of meat, pure meat, flesh will be given to them. وَحُورٌ عِينَ. And beautiful women given to them inside al-akhirah. Then again, Allah mentions, فِي سِدْرٍ مَخْضُودٍ, in the low tree which has no thorns. وَطَلْحٍ مَنْضُودٍ, and either the banana tree or a well-known plant with much fruit will be given to them. وَظِلٍ مَمْدُودٍ, and a long extending shade will be given to them. There's one inside Jannah, a tree, it will take a swift rider 100 years to cross the shade of one tree. A swift rider 100 years to cross the shade of one tree in Jannah. وَمَاءٍ مَسْكُوبٍ, and flowing water for them. وَفَاكِهَةٍ كَثِيرًا لَا مَقْطُوعَةٍ وَلَا مَمْنُوعًا. Fruit that's not cut off, or it's brought close to them. That's why some of the ulama tafsir, they mention that وَقِيلًا سَلَامًا سَلَامًا, everything about Jannah is mentioned. The build-up of Jannah, the coming to Jannah, inside Jannah, the dress, the food, the women, the clothing, everything. The psychological effect, وَقِيلًا سَلَامًا سَلَامًا, peace, peace be upon you. Everything that a human being wants inside this world is all delivered inside al-akhirah for those believing individuals. And then Allah mentions the punishment about people, ashabu shimal, the people of left hand, fi samumin wa hamim. They'll be inside a hot wind and boiling waters. Ibn Kathir mentions inside his tafsir. وَذِلِّ مِنْ يَحْمُومٍ, and there will be a shadow of black smoke upon these individuals. لَا بَارِدٍ وَلَا كَرِيمٍ, that will not be neither cool nor pleasant for these individuals. Then again, Allah mentions, لَآكِلُونَ مِنْ شَجَرٍ مِنْ زَقُّومٍ, they're going to be made to eat from the tree of Zakkum. Then you find that this doesn't nourish the individual. فَمَالِئُونَ مِنْهَا الْبُطُونَ, or begin to rip open the intestines. There's a read about inside the Quran about the punishment as well. The severe nature of punishment mentioned inside al-akhirah as well. And if all of this is unbelievable, then Allah towards the end of the surah mentions, نَحْنُ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ فَلَوْلَا تُصَدِّقُونَ. You find this hard and difficult. Look at the creation of you. Look at the beginning of you. And then Allah poses certain rhetorical questions again and again. أَفْرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ. Have you seen the beginning of semen, tumnoon? That's the beginning of you as a human being. Allah mentioned, أَفْرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَحْرُثُونَ. You see the cultivation that you do. أَفْرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ. You see the water that you drink. أَفْرَأَيْتُمُ النَّارَ الَّذِي تُورُونَ. These rhetorical questions that occur in the end of this surah. Who is it that controls the water? Who's the one, if he wanted to, subhanAllah, that could make the water to become salty or to take it into the ground? Who's the one that can destroy the cultivation? Who's the one can destroy it, wipe it all out? Who's the one that ignites the fire in the first place, brings about the shajar, brings about the tree, and a person is able to ignite it? All of this is Allah. Like another place inside the Quran that you find, أَإِلَهُمَّ اللَّهِ, read this whole page, Is there a deity besides Allah? Who's the one that brings the night, brings the day? Alternates this. Ilahumma Allah. Is there another deity besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this living miracle that then Allah mentions to reflect upon, and Allah speaks about the Quran, that this Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahu la Quranun kareem. This is a noble Quran. Fi kitabin maknoon. La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. Tanzilu min rabbil alameen. And none can touch it except for the pure. Hey, majority ulama go to the view, it's referring to the angels. The Quran is a blessed book. But many ulama speak about the respect that should be given to the Quran. The physical respect, read about Adab Hamaltul Quran, Imam Nawawi's works. The person who carries the Quran, the person who reads the Quran, the adab person needs to give to the Quran. And a reminder that even something that some of us we think is trivial, that some people, that's why you find that other people, they do get offended. Because we think we know so much. We just place the Quran on the floor and say it's just a book of Allah. It's just another book. Ulama made istidlal from this ayah inside the Quran. لا يمسو إلا المطهرون. Ulama al-fiqh. Hatta al-tahara. A person who's not in a state of wudu shouldn't touch the Quran. And you want to place the Quran on the floor? That's a majority of ulama fiqh speak about, discuss it based upon this ayah, that a person should be in a state of tahara when they touch the Quran. Adab lil Quran. Respect for the Quran, respect for the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, some people don't even know the Quran, they just used to move their finger over the Quran. They used to weep. I can't read the Quran. I can't read it. But I move my finger across it. Ta'reeman li kalamillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respect for the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have that respect anymore for the Quran, book of Allah. And we speak about being students of the Quran, students of knowledge, students of respect. If you can't respect the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't respect any human being. There's no way you're going to respect any human being. Because when azamatullah, greatness of Allah, this kalamullah, speech of Allah, is inside your heart and your mind, person is wary about their words, about the etiquette, about their behavior, their usage of the Quran, their saying of the Quran, because Quran hujjatun lak aw hujjatun alayk. Quran is evidence for the person or against the individual. فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ. You can say the main theme of this surah, that these ayat would suffice for the individual to reflect upon their life. That when you find that when your soul comes to al-hulqum huwa al-halq, when your soul comes to your throat, when it comes to your throat, that's what we find inside hadith inside Sahih Muslim, when death, the rattling of death comes, when it reaches your throat, there's no tawbah. When the soul comes right to the top of your throat, and likewise when the sun rises from the west, there's going to be no tawbah. So that at that moment in time, because now the angels of death, they are there. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. Now you're looking at this dead person leaving the world. كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِيَ وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاقٍ. Surah Al-Qiyamah. As Ibn Kathir mentions verses similar to this, that when the time of death comes, إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِيَ. You find when the soul comes to the throat once again, وَقِيلَ مَنْ raq. Who's going to come and save you? Who's going to rescue you? Who's going to deliver you? مَا فِي أَحَدْ. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقُ. ظَنَّ بِمَعْنَى تَعْكِيدًا لَازِمًا حَتْمًا. The dead person knows now. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقُ. Time to leave. Time to go. He knows that. That's what you find. They call it palatable care. That's what they call it in the world of science and medics. That's what they call it. It's إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ. It's when the soul has reached the hulqum, when the soul has reached the throat. It's only a matter of minutes, of days. That is now time to make that transition. And you're looking at this dead individual. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا tubsirun. We're closer to you than you are to that individual who's dying, and we see everything. There they are, the angels that they are standing. They are there. They are closer to this person. You are closer to that individual who's leaving this world. فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you believe in accountability, you can stop accountability of any individual. تَرْجِعُونَهَا. Return this person's soul back into their body. Return it back. If you have any physical power or ability. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah created death and life to see which of you is going to be best in actions. That's what we should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, sometimes people become emotional, become all worried about death, where we should do. But you know, we live in a cosmopolitan world and we live in a moving world. We don't see death. We don't see death in our eyes anymore. Person dies, that's it, brought to the mortuary, brought to the grave, buried, that's it. Ask Allah to show you death. Show you death. لِمَاذَا؟ وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَهِيمُ رَبِّي أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَ قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ يَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Ibrahim said, show me death. أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَ. He said, ya Allah, show me death. Allah said, don't you believe? قَالَ بَلَى. I do believe. وَلَكِنْ يَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. I want my heart to be at rest. I want it to be at rest. So when we visualize death and we see death, what happens to the heart? It becomes a state of rest, of peace. Hadha masiri. This is my path. This is my journey. This is my ending. This is me. This is my reflection. It's my life, my ending. That's what it should be for the individual. That when loved ones pass this world, friends pass this world, people pass this world, people stand there. How many people do you visualize at the funeral? Just stand there, gossiping and talking and this, that, and the other, and everything about the dunya. If you find it in the narration, kafa bil mawti wa'idhan. Kafa bil mawti wa'idhan. Enough is death as a reminder, as an admonition for the person. Gives the person goosebumps and think about it. That's why, as we ulama, as we mentioned, we find it strange to make muhasabah every night. Every single one of us should sit there and reflect. Where am I going? Where's my journey? And just close your eyes and think, what will happen to me inside that station? That's it. Each one of us. And that will awaken our soul, arouse the desires of ta'a, of obedience, lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what ulama mentioned when it's mentioned that when a person who wants to meet Allah, Allah wants to meet that person. And a person dislikes to meet Allah, and Allah dislikes to meet that individual. So Aisha, our mother, she mentioned, is it al-maut? Is it death? Because all of us, we hate death. All of us, we don't want to leave our family members. We don't want to leave this dunya. He said, no. What does it mean then? It means that at the time of death, you've been given either the glad tidings of paradise, or you've been given the tidings of Jahannam. So at the time of death, you're given the glad tidings of paradise. Now what do you want to do? You want to? تُحِبُّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ. You want to meet Allah. But if at the time of death, the tidings been given that you're on your way to Jahannam, then what? You don't want to meet Allah. And Allah does not want to meet you. Allah does not want to meet you. Meaning a person is doomed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to build up to Ramadan to strengthen our relationship, our bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it a source of nur and guidance and light for us. Give us the ability to reach this month of Ramadan, to fast this month of Ramadan, and to be in a state of servitude and make it a form of a waqtul tabdeel, of changing ourselves and bringing us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.